All right, hey, this is Kurt Frankenberg again on Shoestring 101, and I'm joined today by my new friend Joey Kissimmee. How's it going, Joey?
Hey, Kurt, what's happening, man?
I'm enjoying my day, having a ball. I got out of mixed martial arts class a little early, so I didn't get too many bruises.
Good.
So I'm all right with that. Well, Joey, I asked you to interview with Shoestring 101 because I'm using some of your things, and the biggest thing that I've seen out of your blog, Incompress.com, mm-hmm. and we'll get to talk a little bit more about Incompress.com later on. But the thing that I'm finding is that you're just a master teacher.
Thank you.
Well, you know, and what I wanted to do, Joey, is just run down with you. What I've found is everybody that I've interviewed that has taken an idea, you know, they've taken basically nothing and turned it into a business, that they've always, without exception, they've gone through the five steps that I call the shoestring steps. And I'm going to go ahead and ask you, you know, I'm basically going to phrase it in the form of a question. I guess we're on Jeopardy here or something.
Cool.
but I'm going to ask you in the format of the shoestring steps and ask you how you've become so successful with Incompress, okay?
Okay.
So shoestring step number one, all the shoestring steps have four words, okay? And here's the first one, get off your ass.
I love it.
Joey, when did you first realize and make a decision that you wanted to make a full-time income or even just some income online and get off your ass and start moving in that direction? When did you know that, and what prompted you to do it?
Well, it's sort of a long story, but we're going to keep it really short for the sake of the interview. But it really started back in like 96 or 95 when my daughter, she was born. And she's 17 now, by the way, going on 18. God bless her and God bless me. I'm only 35, man, and I got a 17-year-old daughter. But wow. Anyways, when she was first born, I was like, well, you know, I really didn't want anybody to go out there and, you know, other people to raise my daughter. So I told my wife, you work or you stay home and I work. So I busted my butt for like, oh my God, 60, 70, 80, sometimes 100 hours a week, had three jobs. That literally burnt me out. You know, it just a year after that, I just got fired from all jobs. Didn't work for like 6 months or so, and then I just say, you know what, this is never going to happen to me again. I'm never, ever going to work two jobs ever again. So that was the last time I ever worked two jobs or more than one job at a time. And right there I decided to just go ahead and do something else to generate income, whether it be through washing cars or window tinting. I used to be pretty good with audio, so I used to install car audio, just anything on the side. I'm a handyman as well.
Uh-huh.
So that was really the first taste of like get my ass off, or get off my ass, like you say. Right.
Right. You're becoming an entrepreneur.
Exactly. Without even knowing.
Yeah. And were you doing this while you were also working a full-time job? I mean, you're doing a regular job and also hustling on the side, is that right?
Yes, I made sure I positioned myself where I wouldn't work like odd hours. You know, I would have a schedule, like a real schedule. You know, like a 9-to-5 type of thing, and make sure that that's always my schedule. I always had the same days off. I didn't have weekends off, but I make sure I had the worst days that nobody wanted, which was like I think Tuesday or Wednesdays. But Wednesdays and Thursdays, nobody wants those days. So I told my boss, you know what? Give me those days and give everybody else. That way I made sure I had those 2 days, and those 2 days is where I would do my hustle, you know?
Right.
And generate just extra income. Anything to keep me from working another damn job.
Right.
So then around 2000 is when I landed in Walmart, and that was the last job I ever held. I held it for nearly 10 years. And that's actually the same time I started online, but I didn't do anything seriously, really. And to answer that question where you said I'm finally going to make this online thing full-time was I think around 2008. It's kind of hazy, but late 2008 or early 2009, when I realized that I was making just as much money online than I was with my internet stuff, with Walmart. I mean, it was like 5 months into the year, and I've already made the let's say I was making like $20,000 a year at Walmart, right? I already made that in like the first 5 months of the year at online, and then that's when I said, you know what,
I got something going on there.
Yeah, I got to take this a little bit seriously, and I was studying Frank Kearns then, and that's his favorite phrase. I don't know if you knew that. Get off your ass. and that's when I said, you know what, this is what's gonna happen. And I decided to take it seriously. And in 2010, February 5th, 2010, I was able to quit Walmart and do this for full time.
Very so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I honestly didn't know that. I guess maybe now I got to pay Frank Kern, huh? I've heard the name, and the only reason I heard the name is because he's on your site.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Frank Kern is huge, man, when it comes to what I do in our niche. But surprisingly, a lot of people don't know who he is, but he's the guy. He's like the big guy, you know? He's like the Tony Robbins in our thing. So
in internet marketing.
Yeah, when it comes to the how to make money niche, it's a coined phrase that, you know, that we use. So the how to make money niche, you know, meaning teaching people how to make money like what we do. Mm. You know, if you're into that, you'll know who he is. If not, you will never have an idea who he is.
All right. Well, I'm still learning, Joey. I sure am. I own a couple of businesses, and one of them is an internet marketing business, but we don't market how to make money on the internet. What I sell is a book that I wrote back in about the same time you were getting serious. Mm-hmm. I wrote a book about trading the stock market. And that book is up to about $1 million in sales now online.
Wow. That's amazing.
Well, thanks. Yeah. So it's a good thing, but it sounds like Frank Kern's somebody I got to get acquainted with too, huh?
Well, Frank Kern's, he just teaches you how to launch stuff, you know, how to make money with any product that you have. So, I mean, maybe you could learn from his stuff to do a big launch or something for your book.
Yeah, I certainly know what not to do.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's nothing better to launch than a product or something that you know already, like you know head to toe, like the back of your hand, you know? So, obviously, that book is something you know, like with your eyes closed. You wake up in the middle of the night, someone asks you a question, you know, right?
Right.
And then put that with what Frank Kern teaches, and, you know, you could have a very successful launch, you know what I mean? Yeah. But that's what he teaches, that kind of stuff.
I'll bet you what he teaches has a lot to do with shoestring step number two, mm-hmm. which I call find out the W's. And find out the W's. The W's are first of all, what people want. And that's kind of obvious, yeah, right?
Exactly.
You don't want to come up with a product like I suppose I could come up with a product on underwater basket weaving,
yeah,
right? And it'd be the best underwater basket weaving book you ever saw. Mm. But who am I going to sell that to, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So after getting off our ass, we need to find out the W's. We need to find out what people want. But some W's that aren't as obvious are, for example, who they are and why they want what they want, and where they can be contacted, and when is the best time or the best sequence to use, you know. And so I know that you've been following these steps. What does Joey do, or what has Joey done with Income Press and JoeyKissimmee.com to find out the W's?
Well, with me, when it came to the Income Press, I launched that blog, you know, after I've already gained experience and all that stuff. So I kind of knew I had an audience already, you know what I mean? So it probably wouldn't be fair to start with that. Probably the best way to do it is to figure out, you know, because like you said, you just can't create a product because you think it's the baddest product ever. Right, because you think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, you right. just can't do that. You have to go out there in the market and figure out what people want.
Yeah.
Okay. So what you do is what I would do is jot down that idea, but also other ideas. Okay. So I would go out there and try to find people who are interested in that. Okay.
Right.
I do that by the first thing I would do is just go to Google. Okay. Like the monopoly of the internet. So go to Google and search keyword term forums. Okay. Because that's where you're going to find the people asking questions and actually answering those questions, okay? Because the forums are like, I don't care who says what about forums. The only ones that says forums don't work is those so-called gurus. But let me tell you, you will find people asking those questions and people answering questions, okay?
Right.
The best place. So whatever... let's say that, what was that example you said about knitting something?
Underwater basket weaving.
Underwater basket weaving.
So if you would into underwater basket weaving, I would go to the underwater basket weaving forums.
That's what you would search. Exactly. Yeah. So you would search for that underwater basket weaving forums. Okay. And it will give you a slew of places, forums or just anywhere. Or in threads of people asking for that. And then you just jot those notes down. Okay. And then you also jot the notes down of the people answering those questions because there's an expert there. Okay.
Right.
There's an expert in that field. So in case you do want to create a product, then what you would do is first, or what I would do is contact those, or figure out if those experts got like a website or a product or anything like that. Because now I'm spying on the competition, right? Mm. So once I do my spying, I'll figure out who the real experts are, okay? Because you'll figure out who they are. So I'll contact those experts and maybe do like an interview, like what you're doing right now, or just talk to them. I mean, if they're a real expert and they know they're an expert, they're not going to answer your questions. The best way to get questions is by doing what you're doing right now is, hey, can I interview you for whatever, whatever? And you just ask them the questions of what you want to know, you know?
Right.
But then you get a feel for what the market is about, okay? So if you find one or two experts and then they're making money on it, then you kind of have an idea, okay, there's money here. And then you could go out and figure out and do some more searching like that with the forums and stuff. And then figure out what, you know, why those people are asking those questions. What are they needing it for? What are they, you know, what are the problems, you know? And then you fix those problems. That's really how a product comes out. Right? You know, it's created. It's you're fixing
a solution.
Yes, you're giving them a solution instead of creating the mother of all things. Just go ahead and just, you know, solve that problem that they're having. It may be two or three things. Just solve it, you know. And then, you gather. How do you say it? After that, you would, you know, after your information and stuff and all that stuff, you would whip up something. What I would do is just whip up a real quick ebook. Right.
Right.
And then I would go into these forums and say, hey, you know, and here's something that free. Here's an ebook for free. Blah, blah, blah. Get it. And, you know, do whatever you want with it. And then right there, you're building yourself as an expert status and as a person to look to and look forward to. And if you have an opt-in page and all that stuff, like I talk about a lot, you know, building a list, you know, and then you're building an audience around that. So.
Right. You know that I didn't expect you to go into this W. I didn't expect you to go into who as much as you did, but you did. No, it's good that you did because that's opening eyes for me, you know.
I think the who is the most important rather than the why, because the why comes later. You know,
right.
You need to find out who now first before you do anything really. Okay, because you don't know, you're going in blind. You know, if you every great idea is a blind idea. You know, that's just a fact. Every great idea is blind, and if you just go in head first, you're not gonna get anywhere. You need to know who first, and then find out why.
I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. Well, you just went headlong, mm-hmm. Joey, into shoestring step number three.
Okay.
Which is learn to create value.
Okay.
And that's quite frankly how I found you.
Mm-hmm.
Is because I was looking to try and create a squeeze page. I was like, okay, I know I need a squeeze page. How mm-hmm. do I make a squeeze page on my own? And I come across your, I think it was like through a Facebook forum or something. But anyway, I come across this thing, and it was stupid simple. I mean, you put it together to where even I could do it.
Yeah, well, see, that's what I'm talking about, that I'm giving you that solution.
Value.
You know, it's
and it was free. There was nothing.
Exactly. It's a solution that I provided. You know, I answered your question, your problem, you know, and I remember when I first started that was one of the problems I had. I could not find anything for the life of me of how to do it, you know, and then that the same way a lot of people asking the same questions. And guess what I did? I whipped up something real quick, a real quick software, and I just gave it out for free. Now, you found me. You know how many other people, hundreds and hundreds of people found me the same way? And well, now
thousands.
Yeah, probably now they're
maybe tens of thousands.
They're a loyal fan. It's a following that I'm gathering and creating, and I'm also creating along the way customers because of that. I'm providing value for them. You know what I mean? I mean,
partners too, right? I mean,
yeah.
I bet you Frank Kern knows your name.
Oh yeah, he does. Yeah, I'm one of his successful students. So
there it is.
You know, yeah. So he features me all the time on his stuff. So, yeah. But that's exactly it is. You just gotta be a good student. You're always a student. You never stop learning in this thing. But yeah, value is the key thing, because giving massive value just positions you in such a huge way. I mean, not only a leader, you know, in your market, but you're becoming a role model, the guy to look to, the guy to go for answers, you know. And if you could be the good guy out of everybody else who's, I mean, this market that I'm in, this is a tough market. You know, I mean, this is a very, very, very competitive market, but I stand out because of what I do different. I'm not shoving stuff down people's throats or sales or nothing.
No.
You know, I'm just giving, you know?
Joey, I've actually looked for things to buy from you.
Yeah,
I have. You know what I did was I went to your blog, mm-hmm. and I saw that you recommended, you know, 31 Days to a Better Blog, and mm-hmm. I said, oh look, he gets an affiliate commission from that. Well, I'm gonna buy that from Joey.
Yeah,
you know, or I didn't buy it from Joey, but I bought it on Joey's site. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And it was just like I almost felt obligated to.
Exactly. that's a risk. I don't know how to say this word, so excuse me, but reciprocity, I think is how you say it.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Frank Kern talks about that all the time. You give so much value that you almost make your audience almost obligated to give you money. You know, you're creating a demand. You know, I'm not shoving stuff down your throat. I'm recommending. Recommending sells a lot more than selling does. Okay? It makes 100 times more money than selling does, because you're doing it out of the goodness of your heart. It's your option. Ultimately, it's your option if you want to buy it or not. You know, I'm just recommending. So, you know, you just give people so much stuff that they're almost obligated to do that, you know, and that's how you do it. And you're creating a demand, because right now, everybody's like, Joey, how do you do this? How do you do that? How do you do that? You know, and there's a demand for my knowledge. So I could easily create a product and do a nice little launch internally and it be successful.
Right.
You know, so the same thing, you know, going back to that knitting thing, you get people, you get in there, you create a following, and everybody's, and then before you know, people will actually start saying, hey, here's what Kurt said, and go out and check it out. He's sending a free ebook. You know what I mean? And then you create that whole thing, then that demand is there. People go to you just for that knitting thing, underwater, whatever. And then you just and then you just create a product and boom, and then people will, you know, will buy from you and all that stuff, you know. And
I have to agree, Joey, because the way that I ended up writing my book, the blueprint, the book I told you about where I trade the stock market, mm-hmm. I was blogging before I knew what blogging was. I had just mm-hmm. gone through a divorce, and it was late 2001, mm-hmm. Early 2002.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I just gone through a divorce, and I had nothing to do in my evenings. And so I just started writing about stuff I was seeing in the stock market. And at some point, somebody said, "Have you written a book?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I actually sold the book before I wrote it.
Wow, amazing.
I put a PayPal button on my site and said, okay, look, you know what? You can reserve a copy. Here's the outline. I'm going to write it if I get enough orders. And so I actually wrote the book after I had $2,000 worth of orders.
That's awesome. That's
but yeah, I mean, this stuff has been around.
Are you familiar with it just slipped my mind. Oh my God. He goes by the name of David D'Angelo because that's his pen name in dating. Yeah.
I'll tell you why I started doing this because, you know, after getting a divorce, I was thinking, well, geez, I got to get back out there. And David D'Angelo, all I did was I copied what he was doing.
What's his real name? Oh, my God.
I don't say I was copying his cocky, funny approach to women. What I was copying was the way that he wrote emails to his following.
Exactly. Oh, my God. I can't remember. Anyways, the real one, the real guy. So – I can't remember his name. Anyways, but
David D'Angelo, a hack? Did he take that from somebody else?
No, that's his pen name. Oh. I'm going to look it up in Google right now. Uh-huh. But David D'Angelo. What is this? D'Angelo. Oh, my God. What's his name? I can't believe it. I'm sorry to hold you up this way. Uh-huh. Anyways, it'll come back to me, right? But anyways, oh my God, real? Can you hear the typing?
I do. I hear that. That's some
Evan,
microphone.
Evan Pagan. Oh my God, I can't believe. I'm so sorry, audience. You know, for doing this for you, but it just slips my mind when you get excited. But David D'Angelo is a pen name that he created for the dating market. His real name is Evan Pagan.
Okay. Well, I get Evan Pagan's emails.
Okay, well, they're the same guys.
I thought that seemed familiar. How about that? Okay.
Well, Evan Pagan talks about that. He talks about selling before creating. And that's what you did. Sometimes you don't have to, you know, create the product first. Okay? But demand's there. You could sell it and then create it. You know? I do that all the time when the demand's there. You know, I did that, my last product that I sold, I did that very same thing, sell before I create it. The people wanting to know how I go about collecting leads and all that stuff. So I sold an 8-week webinar training, okay?
Right.
Right before I had, the webinars were live, so there's no way I could have done pre-recorded them, right?
Right.
But I sold before I created, you know? And then that's the perfect thing. That's what you did. Excellent.
I have to write Evan Pagan a thank you note now because mm-hmm. It's his fault I'm in this business.
You know? He's an good awesome guy. He's been around that? For a while. Yeah. So that's him.
Well, hey, that brings us right into step four, mm-hmm. Which step four, you know, like I said, these are principles, the shoestring steps, okay, building a business on a shoestring, you know, starting with nothing and turning it into a real business, maybe even an empire. Mm-hmm. They all go through these five steps. And Joey, I did step four. The first time I did step four was before internet, if you can imagine. Mm-hmm. It was the 80s, and I was teaching martial arts. Okay, I actually still own the martial arts studio. Mm-hmm. And step four, I should say what the step is. It's measure everything you can.
Mm-hmm.
Measure everything you can. And one of the things that we measured was, okay, how much money did we spend in advertising last month, right? And divide how many phone calls we got by that, right? So if I spend $1,000 in advertising and I got 20 phone calls, well, okay, every time the phone rings, I'd go, man, that's $50, and I better go mm-hmm. make sure I got that phone, right?
Yeah.
But once I started to measure everything, that's the first time that any business that I ever started went into the five figures per month
mode.
And again, that's before internet, but it's so much faster and so much easier now than it used to be. Mm. And I'm only just learning, you know, really how to do it with internet. But what happened was after you found out how much it costs per call, then you say, okay, now how many of those came from the Yellow Pages, which nobody uses anymore? Mm-hmm. how many came from flyers we pass out? How many came from word of mouth? How many came from this and that? And then we'd start to break down and say, man, you know, we're spending $5 a call with postcards, and we're spending $50 a call with newspaper ads. Let's pitch the newspaper ads. Mm. And put more money into postcards, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, how does that work with you, Joy? Have you seen that step at work in your business?
With any money-making business, you have to know your ROI, okay? Return on investment. Very important. I've got a different method of doing the calculation. Actually, I got a program that does it for me because I'm not really good at doing the numbers. But I've got a program that actually goes in there, how much I put in there, and how many leads I got, and how much money I've made. It calculates everything for me. You have to know what your ROI is. How much is your each lead, because each customer comes in as a lead first.
Sure.
How much each lead is worth to you. Okay, that way you can know how much to spend. And really, it doesn't matter where you put that money at. I mean, obviously, if you're dumping $1,000 in newspapers and you're only making like 500, well, you're losing 500, right?
Right.
But, you know, you still got to figure out that the value of that customer, you know, because each customer, if treated right, each customer in the course of a year will give you money 10 times, you know? So
sure.
you've got to figure that out, how much each customer is worth. So, you know, you're doing the what was the other one? The telephone stuff or whatever, you know, you're making double, then, you know, obviously you're making out there. But it's so important to know the value of each person, each lead that comes in. You just have to know that. You know, because if not, you're going to lose your ass big time if you don't know. And you have to split test everything. So if you're doing newspaper ads, well, you can't just have one or two ads. You have to have, like, you know, five or six different ads to see which one works out better for you.
Sure.
You know, so with anything that you do. I don't do any type of paid ads, really. The only paid advertising I do is I buy solo ads, which is just pay people to mail for me. That's it. You know, they built the list and then I come up with my offer. They mail it to their list. And then that's how, you know, I do stuff.
Is that through Safe Swaps or, other?
Yeah. Safe Swaps has a program where they actually, they do solo ads. I actually go elsewhere, but yeah, same thing. AdSwap is the different thing because AdSwap, you're swapping mail outs with the other person.
Right.
I don't like to do that because if you know, I know my stuff is good. So if I gave you my offer and my copy, you're gonna mail it out to your list. You're gonna see remarkable numbers like you've never seen before because I know how to write to get you to open and get you to click. You know? So then you give me yours and yours suck. then let's say with one mail out, I got 1,000 clicks out of your email, right?
Right.
But out of your mail out to my list, I only got like 100 clicks. Then the way AdSwap works is you gave me 1,000 clicks. I gotta give you that 1,000 clicks back. So that means I got to mail out multiple times in order to get that 1,000 clicks for you, you know? And you'd end up for each mail, you end up losing people. So I don't like doing it. I just like paying, you know? I just say, Kurt, man, I don't want to do an AdSwap. How much you want for a mail out? You want $500? Okay. Here's how $500, you know. So I'll usually ask the value of the lead first before, because some people just build garbage lists, you know, not going to open up. But
that leads me to a question that I didn't think of, and that's how do you learn to write your copy? I mean, if your copy is working so well, how did you learn that?
Yeah, this is going to sound real cheesy and stupid, and probably people are going to hate me for this, but
Well, tell like it is, Joey. Tell the truth.
You're just right. That's it. Right.
And
that's how I learned it from Frank Kern. He just says, freaking right. That's all you got to do. Okay, because what writing does, continuously writing, and let me say this before I forget and it slips my mind, but repetition is the mother of all skill. Okay, that's a quote by Anthony Robbins. Repetition is the mother of all skills. And Frank Kern, that's what I learned from, he's a big copywriter guy, and he just says, write, because this is, one, is going to fix that writer's block problem. Because a lot of people who don't write often, they're good writers, but they don't write often. When they sit down to write an email, they'll sit there for like an hour, two, three, 4 hours, because that writer's block. So repetitive writing, it fixes that problem. And then also studying. The way I learned is I opted into a lot of people's list. Eben Pagans, Anik Singhals, Frank Kern, all these guys. And I study their emails. So if you want to become a really good email copywriter, probably the best thing to do is opt into Liz. Open up an email account that's only for list that you're on, and that way
you don't get all spammed.
You don't get all spammed, yeah, because some people they really suck at, they just hammer you. So, but until you get like your three or four favorite people, then you'll move them to another email or just keep them, right? And you study them. You study their subject lines, all right? And then you ask yourself, why did I open that subject line? Okay, what was it about it? What was it sexy about it? Then you read the body. Then the second question is, why did you scroll down? Okay, because a lot of people don't know. People don't know this. About 80 to 90% of the people never scroll down below the fold, which means like the edge of your computer, and you have to scroll down to see more. So if you actually scroll down, why did you scroll down? What was it about those lines, those few lines that made you scroll down?
And then what was the hook?
Yeah, what was the hook about it? And then what was it about the link? If you did click on that link, what was it about it that made you click on it? And, how was it? Was it hyperlinked? Was it just a straight out link, an HTML link? Or what was it? And then that's how you get with a copy. And then after that, when you get on the sales page, if it's like a sales page, then you would go on to some other stuff like, what made me buy? You don't have to buy it, but what made me buy? But that's for another, but for copywriting, that's how I got good. I study people's emails, and I still do. I still study people's emails. I jot down favorites, my favorite headlines. I use them. Sometimes I swipe Frank Kern's emails all the time. I swiped one email from Grant Kearns. I just switched it up for a bit to make it more of my own. Made over $10,000 with that one email.
How about that?
Yeah. So it's just about getting people to click on that link and getting there. It's all about the numbers. That's why it's so important to split test. When I split test an opt-in page, I don't just go out there and do one. If I do two, three, four, usually about four different opt-in pages, and then whichever one gives me the highest percentage, I stick with that. And then that's when I usually go out and buy big solo ads, like those $1,000, $2,000 ones.
Yeah, that's kind of like finding out who wants it before you create the product. You find out what works before you start.
Yeah,
pushing
well,
it.
Well, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I understood that correctly, but you do that part after you find out who and all that stuff. Is that right?
Yeah. But what you're doing, Joey, is you're testing, finding out you're measuring, and exactly. Finding out what works the best before you completely roll it out to everybody, to the whole world.
Can
right?
I give you an example of a current thing that I'm working on, and maybe that'll answer or put everything together, because we're just using past examples. Let me give you a current example of a project that I'm working on right now, right? And you've probably seen this. It's called the Timeline Slicer. You've seen that, right?
I got an email.
Okay, well, you haven't seen it yet, right? Well, check this out, right? Facebook, if for all who knows and who are into Facebook, tomorrow, actually today's the 29th, right? Tomorrow is the last day for the old Facebook stuff. Everything's going to be converted automatically, whether you like it or not, to the new timeline layout that they have. So right. This whole thing with the big image, the profile, all this and that, they gave actually a lot of options to us to do, to use and to change, which is good. But a lot of people, they don't like change, right? So I'm studying the market. I'm out there going into forums, seeing what's going on with this Facebook and see what people are actually like, you know, what their issues, the biggest issues and biggest concerns. One of the biggest concerns is the big cover image. Okay. That is like the number one concern for the Facebook people. Okay. That market. So I'm saying, okay, so now I think I should create something, put it out there. Now that I know this, and I've answered, and I actually went and took a few forums, answered, this is what the size, this is how you do it, this is so and so, okay? Then goes Pat Flynn, and he puts out an article. I don't know if you're familiar with Pat Flynn and Smart Passive Income, but he puts out an article on the timeline, explaining it, how it's done, how is this and that, and he actually gave away a PSD file. So you can actually, for those who have Photoshop, could use to create their own pictures and stuff in the right size, right? So right. I said, all right, the people just went crazy for that PSD file. So I said, all right, I've got something here to give people. One, I found out that the biggest concern was the cover image. How are they going to cover it? How are they going to do this? How are they going to figure out the size or whatever? Two, I already saw people loving the fact that someone provided something there so it could make it easier, all right? Third problem, or second problem to that one issue that he fixed was that people, not everybody has Photoshop. And if they do, they don't know how to use it. It's expensive. It's $1,000 software, all right?
Sure.
So I said, all right, I got three things to go on, all right? There's one issue about the cover image. Another one, this guy gave away the free thing. People loved it. And the second problem is that not everybody has Photoshop. So I said, all right, I've got a programmer. Let me go ahead and whip up something real quick. And here goes the timeline slicer. All right. It's just a simple web-based app. You just go there and you slice and dice images to the perfect match or size that Facebook requires. You download it, upload it to your Facebook. You don't have to do anything with Photoshop or nothing.
Oh, hey.
So right there, I went into forums. I went to Pat Flynn. Well, I asked him permission first if I could use that template, right? I went to Pat Flynn. I said, I went to everybody, all the leaders. I said, listen, I'm going to create this and see what you guys think. It's all totally free. They don't have to opt in. I don't have to do nothing. People are going crazy. So now I know that people love that, right?
Right.
Now, here's where their demand comes in. Already people are asking for options. Okay. See, this I've done my throughout this whole interview, we've been talking about that. I've done that. I did my research. I went on forums. I went on all these blogs that are writing about it. I figured out what people are having problems with, what they want. All right. And I'm giving it to them now. So now there's a demand, you know, generating there. There's a demand come, you know, that's just people are just asking for stuff. So now we're going to see what the demands are because we're still in the testing phases, right?
Right.
Now I want to see what the top three or four demands are. We're going to create a software on that or the same one, just upgrade it and possibly sell it, you know? For like, I don't know, $19, $20, $24, whatever. And boom, nice little launch right there, you know. But
that could go viral.
That's the purpose of giving it away for free. It's already going all over. People are giving it away for, you know, hey, I found this here. I found that there. I found that here. It's just going, it works on its own, you know. So the hard part was done for me already at the beginning. Now they're doing it all the work for me. You know, and then the demands get in there. It's like I'm building a following. I'm building an audience right there in that Facebook market. And when I go over there and say, hey, here's the timeline slicer pro, boom. You know, so that's how you know, I could have easily just jumped in there without knowing anything, but you have to figure out the, you know, all the details first. All the little details at the beginning are what's going to make it successful at the end, you know?
Right.
Work hard at the beginning to make the easy money later.
I like that. You know, it's like they tell you in mixed martial arts class, the more you sweat, mm-hmm. the less you bleed. Right. so you do the hard work on the front end, right? So it's not so not so hard later.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's super. Joey, I'm going to go into step number 5,
okay,
which is now write everything down.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say now write everything down is because I'm a believer in checklists. There are some things that I do all the time. But there are other things that, you know, it might be a week, it might be a month, it might be a year. You know, like the last time I did an awards banquet or the last time that I threw a tournament. And I want to look at a checklist of stuff that I did last time that worked out really well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not have to reinvent the wheel. And not only that, I might be able to give that list or part of that list to someone else, let them handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So it multiplies the effort. So, but you found out something better than write everything down. What do you do?
Well, what I do is I do both. I do a lot of writing. I jot a lot of stuff down. I mean, I've got a collection of legal pads.
know, I'm looking around my office right now. It's a litter box.
Me too. I write everything down. Subject lines. I have a book that I buy all the time. It's empty, you know, like one of those diary books. It's blank.
Yeah.
And one of them's for blog ideas. Content ideas. The other one's for podcasts. The other one's for videos. So every idea I get, I just put them there. If I'm looking and searching, I find a problem that someone's having with, and maybe I could answer it, I'll go down, you know, and jot it down. But what I used to do back then, when I first started with this thing, I didn't do any writing or anything, was
right.
to remember how I did something, you know, something technical. That was usually the case. I would go ahead and do a screen capture of it. And I used to, back then I had a Windows PC laptop, and I had Camtasia. So what I would do is, once I figured out how to do it and learned how to do it, I would go ahead and record myself actually doing the steps just to remember next time. If it happens again, I would have something to reference to, you know? So,
right.
and that's what now is better known as the Super Quick Tutorial series in my blogs. But I used to just record them because, you know, if you don't like if you do settings, right? Let's say there's a settings on something and you don't go in there often, you will forget how you did it. And then you have to go ahead and spend a lot more time to figure out how to freaking do it again. So
right.
at least I'd have something of reference to that I could go back and hit play and say, oh, okay, that's how I did it.
Yeah, I bet you that saved you a lot of time.
Oh, it did. Because when you go on YouTube, a lot of people, they don't know how to teach stuff, especially technical stuff. They either, if you go in there right now, and one of my biggest videos, the most viewed videos, has like over 50,000 views, is how to do your own Fox logo. You know, the Fox logo, you know, that goes around?
Sure.
So I thought it was kind of cool. I wanted to do something like that for my videos. So I went in. I couldn't find a good sound set of instructions. And everyone that I did find, it was just either mute or some crappy music. And it was just text. All right, you know, written down. Now you got to. And then it was horrible vision. So you really couldn't see it, you know. And once I figured out how to do it, I created my own with voice detailed instructions. And that's become the biggest number one thing. And people love it, you know. But that's how I would do it. I would just go ahead and create it on my own.
Yeah. Well, and that, I like to say create value, you know,
mm-hmm.
is step 3 is create value. But in step 5, you know, write everything down or record everything. You're not just creating value for others; you're also creating value for yourself.
Exactly, because you just, you know, you have to. There's a lot of things, you know. Your head is full of things. Your mind is full of things, you know. And whether it be video, if you don't do video, I do audio. Sometimes I don't have a video thing with me. I'm outside. I'm out in the malls or something. I just whip up my audio part on my iPhone, and I talk to myself and give a mental note. You know what I mean? But that's what you do, and you never know, guys. You never know what that, how valuable that information can be. Because it started out for me, for that was just for me. Those were my archives. They were for me, you know. And then some of my buddy, internet marketing buddies of mine, would be like, "Hey, Joey, how the hell did you do that, man?" And I say, "Well, I really don't remember, but here's a video. Here's a video I did. I'll upload
there it is.
And pass it off to you." And I really can't remember. I think someone just said, "Joey, why don't you just put this on YouTube?" And I said, "Well, all right." So I put it on YouTube. People started loving it. And before you know it, I just became really good at videos. I became the video guy. And then the super quick tutorials was born. And now I just whip up simple stuff that I do and put them on there. And people love it. Those little simple tutorials. You know, I just
That's what drew me to you in the first place was the super simple tutorials.
You said I'm a master teacher, but
you are. You're a master teacher. Well, here it is. You're just trying to make it clear for yourself later on, right?
That's it. I put it in layman's terms. You know, in terms that I would understand it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it just so happens that a lot of people, you know, they relate to that. They okay, man, that is so easy. I just whipped up a video on how to put the artwork in your iTunes, right? I'm telling you, it literally, for me, it was over a year before I really found, digging, like the 1,000th page on Google, deep in there to figure out exactly how to add that image in there. And this is a problem that a lot of people have. Guess what? I did a video on it. Once I figured it out, I did a video on it. Put it on YouTube, and then went to all the forums that I actually posted on. It was probably about, you know, a good 30 of them. And I went into each one and said, "Hey, here's the video. Here's how to do it. Here's how I did it. Tell me if it works." You know?
Right.
And I mean, everybody, emails, left and right, comments, boom, 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 thanking me. Finally, why can't iTunes have this damn thing? But, you know, this is just an example. You know, you just never know how valuable that archive can be to other people other than yourself, you know?
That's right. And you know what, Joey? Another thing, too, is nobody can replace Joey Kissimmee, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's true. But if you needed somebody, say incompress.com grows to the place where you have, you know, dozens of employees. Mm. It's going to be easy for you to say, you know what, I need you to do this, and I need you to do this, and I need you to do this. And they say, well, geez, you know, where do we get the training for this? Hey, here you go.
Well, I don't have employees for the income press. So,
Not yet.
No, I don't plan on to, because that's a blog it's my blog. You know, it's me. I retired JoeyKissimmee.com. to start this new one, because I wanted to get away from that, not get away from my brand, but like you said, you know, in case one day really grows big and I want to make it like a real legit business, then I could do it. With Joey Kissimmee, I can't. Incompress.com, I could sell that later on. I don't have any plans on doing it. The only employees I have right now are my programmer and my iPhone app developers. That's really, really the only employees I have. So basically all the money generated from the income press, which is not much. I think last month I made like $4,000 or something. The month before that, same thing. But that goes to paying for them guys.
Right.
I'm really trying to grow my app business. I really want to make that a seven-figure business. I mean, that's like as real of a business as it gets. It's the most passive income thing I have out of anything. I don't do nothing. You know, all I do is come up with the ideas, meet up with my guys for an hour, once a week, and then that's it. I don't do any marketing, nothing whatsoever, you know. And I would love to grow that team to, like, instead of right now six, to like a 20, 30, or 40 person team, you know.
Right.
So if Incompress ever gets big and huge, where it's making like $20,000-$30,000 a month, that's where that money would go.
Well, that's the next thing I was going to ask you, Joey, is what's next for Joey Kissimmee, and what am I forgetting to ask?
No. I mean, what else is – I've got plans for this year. You know, I really don't want to do as much as I did last year. Last year, I worked my butt off. I made some money, but when every year in December I take off and I sit down and just evaluate what I did throughout the year,
uh-huh.
You know, not really so much how much money I made, but how much was that money worth, you know, in time.
Sure.
And, you know, because time is money, you know, so time is valuable. So, and I was like, wow, you know, I busted my butt last year, you know, I worked a lot. And that's one thing I didn't want to do this year. I wanted to create more of a passive income stream for me. So that's why I created the iPhone app business. And that's really where I'm headed. And I just want to write more. I want to just pretty much just have a lot of time, anytime I want, to just go in there in my blog and write and write and write. That's pretty much what I do, just give as much as I can. Because I think I'm in a position now where I can do that. You know, it's not all about trying to... Because at the beginning, it's really hard, man. You're trying to get money. You're trying to be comfortable and all that stuff. But a lot of people are just too damn money hungry. I have no desire to be a gazillionaire. You know what I mean? Just enough for me and my family to do our thing, and I could be happy. But, you know...
Well, I'm going to argue and say that... Well, I don't know if I'm arguing, but I'm going to say that it's probably coming from that space that's making you successful. Coming from that space where you feel like you can just give and give and give.
Yeah, that's – I think so, man. I believe in that wholeheartedly. I mean, you give, you give, you give, and it will be returned to you tenfold. Right. It may not be by that same person that you helped, you know, but guess what? It's going to come back. You're building goodwill, good karma. I so believe in that. So that this year, I just don't, you know, I'll be honest, from my email marketing and my affiliate marketing, the income has dropped, you know, but it's not that I'm hurting enough, you know, where I have to be desperate. I just want to just I'm in a position now, put it this way, I'm just in a position now where I could just give away probably 99% of what I have, you know, to make 1%. And that 1% is going to come back huge. You know?
Yeah. Well, you certainly have given a lot today, Joey. And I appreciate you know, you giving this boost to Shoestring 101, and I hope that in some way I can reciprocate, do that reciprocity.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? Let's do this. I am looking for my podcast show. Oh, that's another thing I forgot to mention. You asked what's next. I'm really wanting to grow the podcast show. Like so huge where it's getting, I mean, really huge, you know? But anyways, I am looking for people who makes money online without selling make money online stuff. You know, and you did that with your book, you know. So here's an invitation. Would you love to be on my podcast show?
You know what? I'm there. I'm absolutely there, Joey.
Cool, man. So let's do that. Maybe we could do some cool stuff. You know, we'll that's a way you could pay me back is by giving my audience, my listeners and readers, some of your stuff and your success, and then and just share, just give value, you know, share some of the good stuff with them, and hopefully you can inspire some people to do the same, that they don't have to do what I do. They don't have to get into this niche of how to make money online. It's just, you know, I just hate the fact that a lot of people out there sell that, and that's not the only way to make money.
You know? Right. You don't have to just make money online by teaching how to make money online. Eventually you're going to run out of people to buy that, right?
Exactly. So, but yeah. So, all right. Cool.
I'm with it. I'm with it, Joey. Well, Joey, unless you've got any more great pearls of wisdom, which I'm sure you do, but I guess we should probably call her quits now.
Yeah.
And man, I just want to thank you for the time that you spent here with me and with my Shoestring 101 audience. And will you be also broadcasting this on your page or making a podcast out of it? Or
well, it's your interview. So what I would do is I would send people to your blog and put it there. Nice. And that's how I would do it. I mean, it makes no sense for me to put it on my blog. It's your interview, and I'll just send people over there, sending traffic over there, you know, reciprocating.
You know? Very good.
And I thank you so much for having me on your show here and for your time. Thanks so much. I had a blast.
All right. Thanks, Joy. Blast two ways.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll see you out there. And like I say with Shoestring 101, I like to say keep stepping.
Exactly. All right. Bye-bye. Peace. I love you. Free. Out.